faith-filled finance. All major UK bank accounts. One app. Provision is built by Christians to help you steward what God's given you. Track your spending, saving and giving in one place. Join the waitlist now at provision.money and get your first month free. That's provision.money.
Premier Podcasts.
The Profile. You're listening to Premier Christian Radio.
Hello and welcome to The Profile here on Premier Christian Radio with me, journalist Alex Williams. You're more likely to hear me presenting the weekday News Hour programme, but it's a real pleasure to have your company. This is the show where we sit down with a leading Christian to find out more about their life, faith and ministry. The Profile is brought to you in association with Premier Christianity magazine. For a free sample copy of the latest issue, you can visit premierchristianity.com/free sample. In it, you'll find features, interviews, columnists, and much more. Now, how significant a stand would you be prepared to take for your faith? Today on The Profile, we've been talking to Jack Phillips. Let me briefly tell you a little bit about him. Jack lives in the US state of Colorado, where he owns his cake decorating business in the city of Lakewood called the Masterpiece Cake Shop. It's been going since 1993 and has won a number of awards. You can order a cake for different occasions with various fillings, frostings and flavours and so on. Outside of Lakewood, not many people had heard of Jack Phillips. That was until 2012 when his life changed forever. A gay couple, Dave Mullins and Charlie Craig, came into the store and said they wanted a cake for their wedding. Jack Phillips declined the order request, saying it went against his Christian faith. But the Colorado Human Rights Commission, acting on behalf of the state, ruled that Jack had broken its anti-discrimination law. Jack took counter-legal action, arguing his rights to free speech and exercise of religion under the First Amendment were at stake. And several appeals later within the state, the case eventually went to the highest court in the land, the US Supreme Court. And in a ruling which generated considerable media attention, justices sided 7-2 with Jack Phillips. Here's some reaction the couple, Dave Mullins and Charlie Craig, gave CNN's John Berman on the New Day programme.
Well, I feel like in Colorado and in about half the states, sexual orientation is protected underneath a lot of the civil rights laws. 6 years ago when this actually happened to us, we had no idea about that law. But we have since learned that. And, you know, I think the compromise really is any business can choose what they want to sell to people. They just can't choose who to sell it to. Yeah.
Do you see any hope in this ruling, or is it simply a reminder of how far we have to go?
The main thing we want people to know about this ruling is that it has fully left Colorado's Anti-Discrimination Act intact. It hasn't changed the law.
Dave Mullins and Charlie Craig speaking there to CNN's John Berman on the New Day show back in June 2018. Now, a year before the Supreme Court ruling came through last summer, another legal case started to unravel. A transgender lawyer approached the Masterpiece Cake Shop asking for a cake to celebrate their gender transition. It was to be blue on the outside and pink in the middle. Autumn Scadina was informed that Masterpiece did not make cakes which celebrate an individual's gender transition. She sued, and in June last year, the Colorado Human Rights Commission decided that there was sufficient evidence for a discrimination claim. Then, just earlier this month, another development. Jack Phillips got the go-ahead to challenge the state of Colorado. It gave him the green light to sue for hostility towards him and his religious beliefs. Jack's lawyers at ADF International, Alliance Defending Freedom, argue that the state is acting in bad faith and with bias against Jack. remarkable but not unique, because a Christian florist in the US state of Washington who declined to arrange flowers for a same-sex wedding has also found herself at the centre of a lengthy legal case there. Baronelle Stutzman is also being supported by ADF International, and Premier has heard how Phillips and Stutzman have become friends and are helping to support each other. Her case is currently being looked at again by the state of Washington's Supreme Court. Now, towards the end of last year, I rang through to the US and spoke with Jack Phillips. We talked about his faith, as well as the struggles and encouragements he's experienced during these past 7 years. We also discussed the impact that this has all had on his family. In our interview, you'll hear from Jonathan Scruggs, Alliance Defending Freedom's Senior Counsel and Director of the Centre for Conscience Initiatives. I began by asking Jack whether he was prepared to take his transgender cake case all the way to the Supreme Court. Let's take a listen.
Yes, I'm personally prepared for that. The first fight was worth the fight, and this one is too. The cases are both so similar, and the United States Supreme Court addressed the Colorado Civil Rights Commission directly regarding this case, this type of case, and me directly, personally.
I understand that a nephew of yours has become a Christian. I understand that it was related to your situation.
After he saw the fight that we had to go through, and just basically, in his words, more or less, the way that I handled the attacks and all, it made him stop and wonder how I could get by with that, how I would be able to stand up through those kind of things. And realizing that it was my faith in Christ, and made him stop and wonder what that would do in his life. And so he started researching the Bible and exploring faith in Christ, and came to be a follower of Jesus Christ because of those searches.
Do you see God using the challenges that you're facing for good?
Absolutely. God uses, it says in Romans, and it's misquoted a lot, but he works all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And if this is the call that he's put on us, then there's no doubt that he will use those things for good.
Jack, you had to take the first case all the way through to the Supreme Court to eventually be vindicated. Do you, with this second case as well, with this request to mark someone's transgender change, do you feel under attack at all for what you believe in as a Christian?
Whether I'm under attack for that or not, this case was addressed by the United States Supreme Court. The Civil Rights Commission was told that they're being hostile to my faith and they can't do that. And they're doing the same thing again. And they have to treat me equal with other bakeries in Colorado. And they're not doing that. And they're told that they have to. So the question is, can they do that? And that's what we're fighting, that the U.S. Supreme Court directly address them, that they are violating my religious freedom.
There's a case in the UK between a Northern Ireland Equality Commission and a Christian-owned bakery called Ashes. Are you aware of that case at all?
Yes, I am. I've followed it loosely from here, and I saw that they won their case recently.
What was your reaction Ashers to that?
I was glad for them because they shouldn't be forced to create expressive work similar to mine that goes against their faith.
And Alex, I can probably jump in just as a legal perspective.
Sure.
And say a lot of the same principles that are applied in that case apply right on point to Jack's case. I mean, Jack serves all people. He serves people in the LGBT community and is happy to do so, but he just doesn't convey all messages. And that was a similar situation for the case over there, and the court made that distinction and recognized that distinction. And it's a common sense distinction, and it's a distinction that allows people to live together in a pluralistic society. Just because we disagree with each other on certain topics doesn't mean the government should be able to to lock people up or to compel them to speak messages they disagree with. So that's the underarching principles at stake in these cases.
Do you have a message, Jack, for the MacArthur family? They can probably relate to what you've been through.
I'd say good job. Thanks. thanks for keeping up the fight and standing firm.
Christmas is approaching. It's a time of year where a lot of us, you know, look forward and anticipate that time of year. It's a celebration for so many of us, particularly Christians. For you, does it feel like there's going to be a bit of a subduedness to Christmas, a black cloud maybe?
Oh, no, not at all. The celebration of Christmas in the season is just as important this year as last year and the year before and every year since, especially since I became a Christian in my early 20s. And it's just going to be a good year. Looking forward to it.
What are you looking forward to most about Christmas?
The time that I get to celebrate with my family and realizing what the season means, that God came to earth to redeem me from my sins through his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, his death and resurrection, and that he still rules the universe, and I get to participate in his plans.
We've seen reports of, you know, rallies and things held in support of you. I think it was at the end of December in Denver, there was a rally for you. Jack, how would you describe that the support that you've received from politicians in the U.S. and also members of the church community?
The support from both politicians and the church body at large has been really encouraging to know. Like John was saying, we serve everybody. It's not a matter of we won't serve this people, this person, whatever. It's messages that we cannot create. You know, we do artistic expression, and people understand that and have come by to support us and encourage us, and that's been just really wonderful.
Given the extent of the abuse that has been targeted towards you, I wondered whether there was maybe a particular Bible verse or passage from Scripture which has encouraged you in that.
Well, a number of them. The Psalms, John 15:5 is one of ADF's theme verses, and that comes back that without me, you can do nothing. That if we abide in him, John 15:1-10 or 11. You know, talks about abiding in the vine, that Jesus is the vine. And if we abide in him and his words abide in us, then we will bear much fruit. And apart from him, we can do nothing. So that's always been a critical, important part, important verse to me.
How's business doing?
We've had all our bills paid for the last, this has been going on for over 6 years. We've been able to pay all of our bills. And this spring, as we hope to get back into the wedding business, that will be a good thing. Is for the last 4 or 5 years, we have been out of the wedding business, which was 40% of our income from the start when we opened the bakery. And when the state took away our wedding business, that was a very hard thing to deal with. But we've been able to pay the bills. We've lost employees. And now hopefully we'll be able to bring new employees back and get back on our feet to where we were before.
How can our listeners here at Premier Christian Radio across the United Kingdom be praying for you and your family at this time?
Praying that we do the right things, that we make decisions that honor God in everything we do, in our relationships with each other, in the way we handle the business, and the way we proclaim his name and the examples of Christians living in the real world, in the business world.
On a day-to-day basis, do you think about the current proceedings a lot in your mind, or do you just kind of get on with the bread and butter routine, I suppose, of, you know, doing the essential things that need to be done?
Yeah, a lot of what I have to do is just bread and butter, but we have people that come by to support us, actually come into the store or call us or emails, and so you have to, you know, address that, you know. People come in to encourage you, and we end up encouraging them that our God is faithful. And so we do both, just baking cakes all throughout the day and dealing with customers and informing them what the situation is with the case and how they can pray as well.
If you'd known 6 or so years ago when that first order was made for that gay wedding, everything that would have happened to you and your family since, would you have done things differently?
I wouldn't have changed anything. No, I wouldn't have, I don't have much more of an answer than that, but I wouldn't have changed anything. It's been encouraging for us as a family, as a business, you know, extended family, like we were talking earlier about my nephew coming to faith. Yeah, I wouldn't change it.
What kind of role does your faith play when you're crafting those cakes? Because I've seen pictures of them. They, you know, they're incredible.
I know that the skill, the talent that I have is not something that I've developed on my own. I've practiced it, obviously, because I've done this for 40 years, but it's a gift that God gave me for this purpose so that I can use it to glorify Him, to honor Him with what I do. And as I'm doing the cakes, even if it's a cake that, you know, I'm tired or whatever and don't particularly, you know, I'm not enthused about doing something, I know that I'm doing it for Him. And so that makes me want to do the best that I can just to honor God in everything that I do as I do things day by day.
And I understand, Jack, you've been in contact with a lady, Baronelle Stutzman, if I've got that name correct,
yes.
A Christian florist. How's that relationship? How did that emerge? And how's that relationship maybe been a positive thing for you in terms of maybe encouragement and empathy, perhaps?
Yeah, we've come in contact with each other through our mutual association with Alliance Defending Freedom, ADF. She's their client as well. And so we've been at different gatherings and functions and got to be fairly good friends. We exchanged emails and Thanksgiving, and we'll have probably emails and phone calls over Christmas. So we see each other occasionally, and our relationship is pretty good because we're fighting through the same things for the same reason. Again, we serve everybody. Just we don't create every message that people ask us to create.
Can you explain what's the next step in this process? Because understandably, the American legal system is a little bit different to what we have over here in the UK.
That I would have to probably defer to John and let him.
Yeah, I can talk about that. So yeah, as you note, our legal system on the kind of the national or federal scale, so involves the U.S. government, has kind of three levels. The lower court, the district court, the middle level, and then the top level is the U.S. Supreme Court. Jack has had to file a case to protect himself at the lowest, and it's the case start at that lowest level, and we're hopeful the court will protect his rights. But if not, we can go through an appeal procedure that goes all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary. So in the next months, we expect a ruling from the district court on some of these issues, and we're, like I said, we're hopeful that the lower court will rule in Jack's favor.
How much attention has this case generated in America?
A fair amount. Obviously, anytime you have someone go to the U.S. Supreme Court, win, and then the government try to essentially prosecute him under the same law for very similar facts, that's going to draw a lot of attention. Because the government really shouldn't be singling people out because of what they believe, because of what they say. And that's what's going on here. The same inconsistent treatment that the U.S. Supreme Court criticized the state of Colorado for engaging in is still going on. And that's why we're hopeful, and people have focused on this case all across the country and said, look, this is just common sense. This is not right. This is not fair.
John, you've probably seen your fair share of complicated cases over the years. Does Jack's determination to continue on in this process inspire you?
Oh, absolutely. It's inspirational. I mean, not many people, sign up to engage in litigation, right? Jack has been forced to over the past 6 years, and you go to the Supreme Court and win, and you think, hey, this is over. I can get back to my life. I can go and just operate my business in accordance with my faith. That's what I've always wanted to do. And then you turn around and the state is right there again, repeating the same mistakes. Yet Jack is still there saying, hey, this is an important freedom to stand up for, not just for myself, but on behalf of all Americans, but really just all people across the world, because this really comes down to the issue of, can people live out their faith in the public square? On the issue of marriage and sexual ethics and these topics. And that's an important point to protect. Because like I said before, we live in a society with people have different views. So how do we live together? And we need to be able to live to disagree, but yet live together in peace and in tolerance. And Jack is really a model of that.
When you have cases like Jack's come to you, John, how do you as an organization try to ensure that, you know, a client and their family are prepared for, you know, what can be quite a bumpy ride?
Yeah, I think just like any other organization, we're advising them of what this process looks like and, you know, what they can expect. And there are highs and lows, just like any type of process. But Jack has really measured that well. And so have all our clients, because, for all our clients, it is about these important issues, trying to protect themselves, trying to protect other people. And that's something to be inspired by. That helps them weather just the storms of life and of just litigation.
And Jack, I wanted to ask you, do you have a message to the U.S. Leadership, perhaps Donald Trump? I mean, some people might expect someone of his political background to be, you know, supportive of your case. Has he been?
I don't know that he has been directly supportive of it. The Department of Justice is part of his is part of the executive branch of our government, and they were involved in our Supreme Court case.
John, could I ask you, what do you think this says about where America is right now, that just a regular businessman has found himself being taken, ending up at the Supreme Court on one occasion, and now there's this second case in the pipeline?
Yeah, well, I think it goes to show that there are hostile officials, hostile states, hostile governments out there that are seeking, that dislike certain viewpoints and dislike certain messages and dislike certain beliefs. And that was borne out by what the U.S. Supreme Court said the first time in criticizing these officials. But I think we can take hope look at what the U.S. Supreme Court did in its first ruling, vindicating Jack's freedoms, vindicating the freedoms of other people in America. And so that's something to take hope from, that despite you have these situations going on across the country, the U.S. Supreme Court did step in once. And if they need to do so again, we would expect them to do so.
And I suppose in a way, Jack is quite, he's in an enviable position in that he has an organization with the resources such as yourselves who can support him right up to the highest court in the land, because presumably not everyone has that luxury.
Unfortunately, that's right. Our legal system often does require a lot of resources. But our greatest resource really is our clients, who are willing to take a stand, who are willing to believe in certain things are important. And that is really an amazing testimony. And so we're really thankful for them and the victories that they have won.
I know that a lot of our listeners care, deeply about people like you who find themselves facing such challenges. And I know that a lot of our listeners pray about situations like yours. What does it mean to you to know that, you know, in America and maybe even further afield, that there are people praying for you?
Yeah, it makes me think 4 or 5 years ago in the middle of the day, somebody called me up and said that he and his wife were just about to pray for me. What specifically could they pray for? And I thought, I don't even know this person. I don't know where they are, but they're actually physically, literally getting ready to bow the knee and lift my name up to the Father. And I realized then that that's not something that I would ever take for granted again, that somebody was actually praying for me then, and to know that people do continually and pray for the other people at Baronel and all the other clients that they have. It's really inspiring.
That was the Christian baker Jack Phillips and his lawyer Jonathan Scruggs from Alliance Defending Freedom speaking with me, Alex Williams. We were discussing Jack Phillips' victory at the Supreme Court last summer, which ruled he was within his rights to decline a request for an order for a same-sex wedding. And we all heard during that interview also that Jack now faces another legal challenge. He's facing fresh action now for refusing to make a cake to mark someone's gender transition. This is a story we will continue, of course, to cover here at Premier Christian Radio. Thank you very much for joining me, Alex Williams, on today's edition of The Profile here on Premier Christian Radio. Don't go anywhere this Saturday afternoon. We'll be back with more content for you right after this.
It was 50 years ago when young missionary Jackie Pullinger left London and got on a boat to Hong Kong, determined to share God's love with those in need. Miracles followed. Now she's challenging the church to get on with the job.
My message is always the same. It's how to get us sure enough of God's love so we can go out and share it with the lost.
Read the full interview with this inspiring evangelist exclusively in Premier Christianity magazine.
This is very short life, and eternal life is forever. We could feel all stupid if we wasted this one.
For your free copy, visit premierchristianity.com/free sample.
The Profile. You're listening to Premier Christian Radio.
Welcome back to The Profile here on Premier Christian Radio. I'm Sam Hales. You just heard my colleague Alex Williams in discussion with Jack Phillips, the man at the centre of the gay cake case over in the USA. Now, in the second part of today's show, I spoke with the Patriarch of Jerusalem. It was an honour to host him here at Premier Christian Radio. He'd just come from meetings with Prince Charles and the Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, both of whom have a keen interest in the plight of Christians in the Middle East. The Patriarch was visiting the UK for those meetings, and he also came here to Premier to really share the following reflections with us at Premier and with you. We covered a variety of topics: church unity, the political situation in Jerusalem, and also the phenomenon known as holy fire. This is really quite a remarkable claimed miracle that takes place every Holy Saturday in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That is the place in Jerusalem that's traditionally thought to be the exact spot where Jesus both died and also where Jesus resurrected. And every Holy Saturday, a representative from the Orthodox Church will go down into the tomb where it is claimed that a blue light emanates from. Miraculously, every Holy Saturday will light a torch, and then that fire will be passed around the church. And it is claimed that this fire burns but does not consume. And so you will see people, if you go there on a Holy Saturday, you will see people waving their hands through this fire. I wanted to talk to the Patriarch of Jerusalem about that miracle, so you'll hear that in a moment. But you'll also hear really his reflections and the message he wanted to share with Christians in the UK, as I say, on a variety of subjects. So without any further ado, let's hear our conversation. Well, I'm delighted to say I'm joined by His Most Godly Beatitude, the Patriarch of the Holy City of Jerusalem and all Palestine, Israel, Syria, Arabia, beyond the Jordan River, Cana of Galilee, and Holy Zion, Theophilus III. His Most Godly Beatitude was elected unanimously in 2005 by the Holy Synod of Jerusalem as the 141st Primate of the Orthodox Church of Jerusalem, and he joins me now in the studio. Welcome, Your Beatitude. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you very much, here with you today.
It's always important to us as Christians in the UK to hear from Christians in the Middle East, and in particular yourself. You're representing a church that has been there for really since the very birth of Christianity. Would you
Correct.
Like to give us some of the incredible history of really where you're coming from and what you represent?
Thank you very much. It's a great honor for me to be hosted by Premier and to present a message from the Holy City of Jerusalem and, of course, from the Holy City of the birthplace of our Lord Jesus Christ, I mean Bethlehem. Mm. And today you are preparing ourselves to celebrate this great event, the good news, that is to say, the nativity of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Church of Jerusalem is considered to be the mother church of all churches, because it was on the day of that blood and water came from the side of our Lord Jesus Christ while he was on the cross. Mm. And it was at that moment that the church was established on earth. And it was from there that the church was expanded all over the world. Mm. And continues to expand. This is why Jerusalem is considered to be the mother of all churches. And we in Jerusalem, we continue this great succession from the first Bishop of Jerusalem, the brother of our Lord Jesus Christ, St. James the Just. Therefore, the Patriarchate of Jerusalem has an unbreakable, continuous presence for almost 2,000 years.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And the role of the Patriarchate is very, very important, because thanks to the Patriarchate, that not only the holy places, which are common to Judaism, to Christianity, and later, of course, to Muslims, but it's important, the role of the Patriarchate, because it maintains the Christian character of Jerusalem as well.
Yes.
And this is why today the holy city of Jerusalem is accessible to everybody, to all religious people from all over the world without any discrimination.
Absolutely. Whatsoever. Yes, right? And having been there myself many times, I can testify to that fact that anyone can walk into the Church of the Holy Sepulchre.
Yes, or, that's right.
And what's it like for you, though, when you find yourself inside these holy sites, inside these churches? Is there something for yourself on a personal level? Does it feel special? Does it feel different to think is the place?
You don't really need to be inside a specific holy place. To be in Jerusalem is the same, because Jerusalem is the place of the divine human encounter. Correct? Mm. It is there that we realize what is the mystery of the incarnation, because the topography, geography are an undeniable testimony to this great event of the incarnation of the divine Logos, correct? Mm. Now, to be on the very spot of a certain place, which is connected with the earthly life or the earthly ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, of course, there is that now has a very specific impact. First of all, the Holy Land in general and the holy places in particular are places of divine energy. And this is what you really enjoy and you feel that.
Yes, divine energy.
Correct.
I love that phrase. It reminds me of something incredible, a miracle which takes place every Holy Saturday.
Correct.
Many people, I'm interested, sometimes many Christians in this country have not even heard of this miracle.
This is true.
It's called Holy Fire.
Right.
Would you describe exactly what takes place?
Well, we call it Holy Light, but it was the Islamic world that call it holy fire,
right,
because they venerate this event. It's very special to them. This ceremony is taking place only on the very spot, the very place of the resurrection, the burial and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this ceremony is a part and parcel of the everyday liturgies that we have and prayers, correct? So the Holy Fire is a very special ceremony because it is the announcement, if you like, of the first experience that the guards of the tomb of our Lord Jesus Christ had when he came out of the tomb.
Right. So what happens today is...
What happens today, this ceremony goes on since the very days of the establishment of the church. And it is true that, as St. John Chrysostom says, when the body of Christ entered into the very tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, he says that fire entered inside it. This is why we say that the tomb of Christ is really a place full of divine energy.
Right. So, and so on the Holy Saturday, an actual flame emanates from the tomb,
correct,
miraculously.
Yes, when the patriarch comes out, we enter the tomb after we have the prayer, the procession, that not only clergymen with vestments, liturgical vestments, but also the whole congregation. And the congregation is not necessarily of one particular Christian denomination, and not necessarily Christians. You have many Muslims, many Jews, and many others, indifferent people. They come there because it's a unique experience,
yes.
Correct? And there is no one so far from my own experience that has remained, unimpressed. There is something happening.
Right.
And every people, when they come out, they have this unique experience.
Yes. I imagine some people must be very skeptical and think, how could this happen?
This is
happen?
True, but the problem is that, the point is that when they participate, for whatever reasons, right? When they come out, when they experience this event, they have their own personal experience, which is always positive.
Absolutely. I'd love to talk a bit about your own personal story, your own personal experience. So you were born in Greece? And
I was born in Greece.
Moved to Jerusalem at an early age?
Very early. I was 12 years old, right? And when I moved there and I joined there, the Patriarchate school, and this is how then I joined the Brotherhood of the Holy Tomb. And once you drink from the water of Jerusalem, then you don't want to go away to run away.
It is a special place. I, again, speaking for myself, there are, every time I go, I feel like I need to go back again.
This is true. I'm receiving pilgrims around the clock, and I meet people that they've been there for 5 times, 6 times, 10 times. And everyone who has been to Jerusalem for pilgrimage, he really wants to come back again. This is true.
Has faith always been a part of you, or can you remember a particular time in your life where something changed in that regard, or you had a kind of experience?
Well, you know, always you have your doubts when you are young.
You have doubts when you're young?
Of course, and it's natural, correct? And but then, by time you are searching, you are studying, you are asking, and then you give the appropriate answers. And theology helped us a lot, especially patristic theology. The church fathers were extremely determined our own personal faith and just kept away any kind of doubt.
Yes, so almost through studying, you've grown your faith through.
Yeah, when you study the church fathers, the accredited church fathers like St. Cyril of Alexandria, who is one of the greatest, interpreter of the Bible, right? And he's the one that managed to give an answer to Nestorianism and to philosophical concepts when he declared the doctrine of the incarnation by using the term hypostatic union or hypostatic enosis, correct? And this is what is the basis today of the Christian faith. This is why for us the divine logos is not just Jesus, it's Jesus Christ. And this is also how Virgin Mary has a very special place within our faith, the Christian faith, and within the especially the Orthodox Church, without going to extremes.
You talk about what is different about the Orthodox expression of Christian faith to other denominations. I mean, some people would look at the Christian church around the world and they'd say the Christian church is divided. We're all in our different denominations. We all believe different things. What are your thoughts on Christian unity? How do you think about unity, and what are your what would that look like for you, and what is your aspiration for the body of Christ?
I mean, one should take into consideration one fact, our human predicament. Christ came on earth in order to correct our, human predicament,
yes.
Correct? But on this, at the same time, he is fully respecting our freedom of choice, correct? Mm. There is a nice and very special word that is it can be found only in the dictionaries of the church fathers, mm-hmm. and this is autexousion. That is say, every human being has been made not just after the image and likeness of God, but he is totally has the gift of God to be free. I mean, nobody is coerced, right, to believe in God. Mm. It gives you this freedom. Mm. And therefore, it makes sense that everyone has his own understanding and interpretation of faith. Now, for me, what is important to be ecumenical, but not ecumenist, right? Because ecumenism brings about confusion to people. But ecumenical means that you stick to your own tradition,
right.
The way you brought up,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And it is through only tradition,
yes.
Right, that you can proceed further.
I see.
Correct?
So we don't apologize for our differences.
No.
But
on the contrary,
we seek to bless one another,
yes,
at the same time.
And
yeah.
This is the healthy ecumenical spirit.
Mm.
But ecumenism, it's something, it brings confusion.
Right.
To people, correct? But if you stick to your own tradition, you respect your own tradition, mm. you practice your own tradition, then this is the best way to proceed for unity. And we ourselves, we have to do our part, mm. right? But the rest belongs to Him, to the Lord, correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm. Obviously, we can't talk about Jerusalem and talk about your life without acknowledging, I guess, the difficulties of currently living where there is a lot of conflict. And sometimes Christians in this country will want to take sides, and they'll want to say that side is wrong, that side is good. What would be your message to Christians who think perhaps particularly about some of the political conflicts in Israel, the Palestinian territories,
right.
and feel a need sometimes in the name of justice to want
correct.
To take a side?
Yes.
What would be your view?
I mean,
on that?
In the Holy Land, and especially in Jerusalem, you know, there are more than 15 Christian denomination churches, right? They are well established, and therefore, what is good today that we as Christian churches of the Holy Land, we get together and we discuss all issues.
Right.
And we try, of course, not to turn ourselves into politicians. This would be a disaster. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that we are indifferent to what is happening. And from time to time, we have to raise our voice, but always in the context of the love of the gospel, because this is actually what has been continuous and must be our mission there, right? To promote, not just to speak about peace, it's not enough. I mean, we have to always speak about reconciliation.
Mm.
And we are, I think, the only body, the only institution, I mean, the Christian church or the Christian community, that we can really make our contribution to bring the two people to into understanding each other.
Mm.
And I think in this respect, we are succeeding.
You think you're
yeah.
hopeful about
yes, that's right.
Future.
You have to be hopeful because, after all, the Christian church is a church of resurrection, and more specifically, the Church of Jerusalem.
Mm.
Correct.
I know you've talked before about Jerusalem not just being a place of history, but you've said it's also where the last days will take place.
Correct. This is true.
I mean, many Christians...
It's not me. It is St. John the Evangelist.
Right. Well, many Christians will read St. John or read Revelation, and they'll come away scratching their heads thinking, I'm not sure if I understand any of this. Do you have any insights to share?
Well, our Lord Jesus Christ is very crystal clear. When we read the gospel, always we hear about the last days, about last judgment, etc. But at the same time, the message of the gospel is crystal clear. We should take into account what is going on around us, right? All these phenomena, the so-called natural disasters. There are certain disasters that there is no any explanation, correct? But at the same time, Jesus Christ says, well, these are signs that you have to take into consideration. But at the same time, please, the day has not come yet.
Right.
But be ready, be aware, correct? This is what is important. And this is what we have to be reminded and not to talk too much about the last days or about Antichrist, as much as we have to talk about Christ himself and to look after our own personal spiritual advance and commitment to our faith, correct?
Yes, and of course, you know, Jesus' final encouragement to his disciples to go into all the world to speak the good news. How do you personally share the good news with those who perhaps have no concept of what it means to be a Christian, perhaps those who wouldn't even believe in God? How do you share
your faith? I mean, the fact that we are there in the Holy Land, I mean, I'm always challenging people. I'm telling why you are here. I mean, not only the Christian community, but Jewish people, Muslim people, everybody wants to be there. What for religious purposes and for religious reasons, correct? This is why the conflict is there. The conflict, actually, the core of the conflict, the political conflict there, it's about holiness of the holy places. Mm. It's about religion, correct?
Yeah.
So our we have a mission there. And our mission is precisely this, to keep these holy places as a spiritual oasis, right, that people who are visiting today the Holy Land, they drink from this water. I mean, no matter what people they in public say about themselves, inside, within the human being, there is the inner man, and this is the soul, correct? And as much as the body needs biological food, so much the soul needs very special food. And this is what is our mission there. I mean, the Church of Jerusalem and Jerusalem per se, as a holy city, as a theocratic place, provides people with this spiritual food. There are many who do not want to declare it in public, but actually, personally, this is what is happening to many of them.
Hmm. So they may not talk about it outwardly, but you never know what God's doing on the inside.
But you have many cases that people that they admit that after visiting the holy places, an inner change is taking place. And they say, I mean, I have many experiences, people, they said, I had nothing to do with faith, right? I was totally indifferent, but I don't know, after I entered the Holy Sepulchre, something happened to me. This is true. It's a, it's a confession, you know.
Yes. Yeah. When you were younger, did you ever aspire to be in the position that you now hold?
To be honest, I never thought of becoming a priest, but I had a religious mother, but she was really free, and she was the one that always let us go to the church to attend the services, right, and to serve in the altar, to serve the priest, to help the priest. And this is how then I moved to Jerusalem.
Right.
And once we went there, I don't know, certain things are from above.
Would you say you have a particular calling? Would you, you be able to describe that, to say this is
well,
what
listen,
that is?
Uh, you cannot say that it's a calling. It's very difficult to explain. I mean, I know from my our own friends and colleagues, after we graduated from the patriarchal school, the school in Jerusalem, then we decided to do what? What next? Correct? And all of a sudden, we received the message that we have the patriarch wants us to go and see him. And he's told us that, listen, you are welcome to join the brotherhood. And you cannot say no. Once you join the brotherhood, you become a monk, then a new life starts. And you have all sorts of challenges. But at the same time, these challenges are not always negative. On the contrary, make you understand many things.
We sometimes hear that Christians in the Holy Land feel forgotten by the rest of the church. So what would be your message to Christians of all denominations in the UK?
Well, this is what you have. That's an interesting point. I mean, this is what I'm saying to pilgrims that I'm receiving around the clock and every day, right, and a good number. I'm telling to the Christians that your presence here, your pilgrimage is a blessing for you and your families, your countrymen, but it's a blessing for us. And when I say for us, I mean for the Christian community. Why? Because Christian community here, by being here, by your presence, they feel that they are not abandoned, they are not forgotten, correct? And we as churches in the Holy City of Jerusalem, we try to raise awareness around the world about the predicament, the problems that Christians are facing in the Holy Land and in the major area of the Middle East. And this is why we are here. And you know that Great Britain and the Church of England has a very special, interest in showing not just theoretically, but on the ground, practically, that there is concern about the Christians. And this is, I mean, why we are appreciative of His Royal Highness Prince Charles. It was his initiative to have to hold this special prayer in the Westminster Abbey, which was really a great, great success and a great tangible message that Christians in the Middle East, they are not forgotten, they are not abandoned. And this is what has happened last night.
Well, your Beatitude, thank you so much for coming and talking to us and sharing. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
My thanks to His Most Godly Beatitude for coming in to the studios here at Premier Christian Radio and spending time with us to share that message. You'll also be able to read the Patriarch's reflections in the forthcoming edition of Premier Christianity magazine. That is the magazine that sponsors this show and makes it all possible. If you're not already a subscriber, we've got a great deal on right now. If you'd like to get 12 issues of the UK's leading Christian magazine for less than £20, head over to premierchristianity.com/subscribe. I've been Sam Hales, and you have been listening to The Profile. Do hope you enjoyed both those interviews this afternoon. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time.